Greetings, salutations, and good morning from the morning after. Hi there, it's the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. For the fourth day of November 2020, the day after the national presidential election here in the United States of America. And this morning, no big surprise. Everything is all snagged and tied up and crazy because of all of the things that we have seen coming for the last few months with the shenanigans, the background dealing, the tomfoolery, the idiocy going on in the Democrat Party, trying to shift everything so that they can count votes after Election Day and have more than usual mysteriously appear from nowhere. And that is exactly what is going on right now. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. What's happening right now is that we are watching the Democrat Party succeed in their attempt, or it looks like it right now, succeeding in their attempt to take an election away from the people of the United States of America and award it to themselves. This is why Nevada is not announcing any more vote updates today. They won't announce any more vote totals until tomorrow. You're probably aware of that by now, depending on when you listen to the podcast. And that, by the way, that time factor is the difficult thing about doing this podcast today. Because even though we are live and in real time on Facebook Live, I just clicked the button, by the way. I was a couple of minutes late, and I apologize. But even though we are live on Facebook Live, there really, honestly, there's not, I don't see any kind of activity on Facebook Live, and many days I just think, why even bother? But I know that there's a lot of activity as far as the podcast is concerned. It's not a live radio show. It's not a live TV show. And so the time factor is a big thing here. And it leaves me with questions about what to talk about some days, because quite honestly, some days, I can't be timely because of, you know, you could be listening to this at, you know, 5 or 6 in the afternoon after a day full of reporting on things, and everything's going to change. So I find myself just having to deal with issues that are more generic and as specific as possible, which is a weird line to walk down. It honestly is. So what do we talk about today on a podcast, not a live show that's commenting as things happen? So what do we talk about today? That's a difficult thing. More people are interested in the actual election itself and what's actually happening right now, because we're used to getting up the morning after and seeing who the new president's going to be or who the president still will be. That's how things have been here in the United States of America for as long as most of us have been alive, and longer. And honestly, that makes it very difficult. We all watched what was happening and playing out in advance, and we see what's happening now, and we're left with a really weird situation on our hands. So let's start off first by going to the president, President Donald Trump, and his remarks from 2:21 a.m. Eastern Time this morning, as he spoke to his supporters.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please sit. Thank you. This is without question the latest news conference I've ever had. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And I want to thank the American people for their tremendous support. Millions and millions of people voted for us tonight. And a very sad group of people is trying to disenfranchise that group of people. And we won't stand for it. We will not stand for it. I want to thank the First Lady, my entire family, and Vice President Pence, Mrs. Pence, for being with us all through this. And we were getting ready for a big celebration. We were winning everything, and all of a sudden it was just called off. The results tonight have been phenomenal, and we are getting ready. I mean, literally, we were just all set to get outside and just celebrate something that was so beautiful, so good, such a vote, such a success. The citizens of this country have come out in record numbers. This is a record. There's never been anything like it. To support our incredible movement, we won states that we weren't expected to win. Florida, we didn't win it. We won it by a lot. And we won the great state of Ohio. We won Texas. We won Texas. We won Texas by 700,000 votes, and they don't even include it in the tabulations. It's also clear that we have won Georgia. We're up by 2.5% or 117,000 votes with only 7% left. They're never going to catch us. They can't catch us. Likewise, we've clearly won North Carolina, where we're up 1.4% or 77,000 votes with only approximately 5% left. They can't catch us. We also, if you look and you see, Arizona, we have a lot of life in that. And somebody said, somebody declared that it was a victory for, and maybe it will be. I mean, that's possible. But certainly there were a lot of votes out there that we could get, because we're now just coming into what they call Trump territory. I don't know what you call it, but these were friendly Trump voters. And that could be overturned. The gentleman that called it, I watched tonight. He said, well, we think it's fairly unlikely that he could catch. Well, fairly unlikely. And we don't even need it. We don't need that. That was just a state that if we would have gotten it, it would have been nice, Arizona. But there's a possibility, maybe even a good possibility. In fact, since I saw that originally, it's been changed, and the numbers have substantially come down just in a small amount of votes. So we want that, obviously, to stay in play. But most importantly, we're winning Pennsylvania by a tremendous amount of votes. We're up 600. Think of this. Think of this. Think of this. We're up 690,000 votes in Pennsylvania. 690,000. These aren't even close. It's not like, oh, it's close. With 64% of the vote in, it's going to be almost impossible to catch. And we're coming into good Pennsylvania areas where they happen to like your president. I mean, it's like, so we'll probably expand that. We're winning Michigan, but I'll tell you, I looked at the numbers. I said, whoa. I said, wow, that's a lot. By almost 300,000 votes, and 65% of the vote is in. And we're winning Wisconsin. Now, so we're winning. We don't need all of them. We need, because when you add Texas in, which wasn't added, I spoke with the really wonderful governor of Texas just a little while ago, and Greg Abbott, he said, congratulations. He called me to congratulate me on winning Texas. I mean, we won Texas. I don't think they finished quite the tabulation, but there's no way. And it was almost complete, but he congratulated me. Then he said, by the way, what's going on? I've never seen anything like this. Can I tell you what? Nobody has. So we won by 107,000 votes with 81% of the vote. That's Michigan. So when you take those three states in particular, and you take all of the others, I mean, we have so many. We had such a big night. You just take a look at all of these states that we've won tonight, and then you take a look at the kind of margins that we've won them by. And all of a sudden, it's not like we're up 12 votes and we have 60% left. We won states, and all of a sudden, I said, what happened to the election? It's off. And we have all these announcers saying, what happened? And then they said, oh, because you know what happened? They knew they couldn't win. So they said, let's go to court. And did I predict this, Newt? Did I say this? I've been saying this from the day I heard they were going to send out tens of millions of ballots. I said exactly, because either they were going to win, or if they didn't win, they'll take us to court. So Florida was a tremendous victory, 377,000. Texas, as we said. Ohio, think of this. Ohio, a tremendous state, a big state. I love Ohio. We won by 8.1%, 461,000. Almost 500,000 votes. North Carolina, big victory with North Carolina. And so we won there. We lead by 76,000 votes with almost nothing left. And all of a sudden, everything just stopped. This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We did win this election. So our goal now is to ensure the integrity for the good of this nation. This is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list. Okay? It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment. And we will win this. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won it. So I just want to thank you. And I want to thank all of our support. I want to thank all of the people that worked with us. And Mr. Vice President, say a few words, please. Please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to join you in thanking more than 60 million Americans who have already cast their vote for 4 more years for President Donald Trump in the White House.
And that is how things were at a bit after 2 o'clock this morning. What remains is what remains. I think the president addressed this properly. I think he painted the proper picture. The Democrat Party has succeeded in setting a stage so that they can find more votes in the dark of the night and change the results of the election. Nevada has stopped announcing. Pennsylvania stopped counting last night. And the outcome is still up in the air. At the time I'm recording it, a bit after 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time. A lot of people are nervous today. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for the morning after the day after Election Day 2020. Ah, man, let's see here.
But I just cannot get over
Not yet, Tucker. It is the fourth day of November 2020. And most of us watched into the night last night to see what election results would reveal. And as I said in the first segment, we live in a nation that's accustomed to either staying up to see what happens or getting up to learn what happens the following morning, which is not what's happening in America today. We're waiting for things to be decided, mail-in votes to be counted, and to find out what sort of skullduggery has gone on in the dark of the night. Because as we've said, as I've said many times in the run-up to the election, the Democrats were setting the stage for a method for taking the election whatever direction they wanted it to go. Much like they have in state after state after state, controlled by Democrats, where they have changed the voting laws, changed things so that mail-in votes can be counted afterwards, that in some places even that mail-in votes don't even have to be postmarked, and that signatures don't have to match. Stop and think about just those two items. The postmark doesn't have to be there. First, it didn't have to be postmarked by the end of Election Day. And then it was, it doesn't have to be postmarked at all. And then the signature issue. And I understand to a degree the signature issue, because your signature over the years does change a bit. And some people would say that the way yours is now doesn't match the way it was when you signed your signature card when you registered to vote. But there should be some common sense. But when it comes to something like this, there is no common sense. People play by exact words and precise rules, and they won't allow what they just don't want to allow. And that's what's happening in a Democrat-controlled situation across America. As I said, we've watched this state after state after state as the Democrats have manipulated things. We've watched as the progressive movement has funded the campaigns of progressive candidates on every level in states across America so that they can change state voting laws in order to change the outcome of a national election. And we're seeing that happen right now. And it has never been more important than right now for people who understand the value of a representative republic to retain the presidency and retain control of things, so that in the years to come, we can correct the issues created by progressives across our nation. Make no mistake, the states which are in the most financial trouble right now, the states with the worst coronavirus outcomes right now, the states with the biggest educational issues right now, the states with the largest problems across the board right now, are all being managed by progressives, Democrats, all of them. And what they do when things fail that they say will be wonderful is they blame others. And if the opposing party is in power in Washington, D.C., they blame Washington, D.C. and the president, which is what we have been watching happening over the last 6 to 8 months, as the progressives take advantage of the coronavirus situation to change the voting procedures in state after state after state, progressive-controlled states, so that they can do what they have been doing on local levels, on a national level. Vote harvesting, ignoring the postmarks, signatures, things like that. So, at this point, things in a normal world look good for President Trump. As I'm recording this, as I said, you could be listening to this much later in the day, and things may have changed. But at this point, things look pretty good. But there will be a legal battle. This is why the Democrat Party hired over 600 lawyers, 600 attorneys. This is why they had over 10,000 volunteers. And we watched those volunteers work. We watched them do their funny business. We watched them as, hang on here, I'm looking for this. Okay, here we go. We watched them as they did strange things in strange places. And I'm looking here. I got to find this and pull it back up. Oh, it's not going to let me do that. Don't do that, please. And we take that back. No. I don't want to start you yet. For example, in this particular area, let me get my notes up here so I've got this absolutely right. I don't want this. Where is it? Okay, this is in Arizona. Arizona, which has been called for Joe Biden. Were you aware that there were polling places in Arizona in Republican districts, in Republican heavy areas, where poll workers were having Republicans fill out their ballots using pens that wouldn't show up properly when the votes are scanned? They were passing out Sharpies, which are not supposed to be used. You're supposed to use a ballpoint pen. And there's a reason. The ink in a ballpoint pen is different. It has a different kind of opacity. It scans properly, and Sharpie ink does not. And that was going on in Arizona. Just listen to this.
The ASU Polytech earlier, that like four different polling places were doing Sharpies all in like between Queen Creek and like the edge of Gilbert.
Yep. And those ones are not being counted.
Yeah.
They're invalid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I have proof.
So they're invalidating votes is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I feel a picture like. Of
okay.
ballot.
And then there was a guy that directly came out and yelled at me. Three times. They both came out.
Oh no, they called the sheriffs and said that and told us to stop handing out the ballpoint pens. In which case, those are the only ones that are actually being counted and validated.
I used your pen and then I sent it back to you and I said, give this to somebody.
Yes. And so we know that and we've been telling them, you need to use a ballpoint pen, not the Sharpie. And now those are getting invalidated. So people are coming here to vote for Donald Trump and those votes are all getting invalidated. That's what's going on. There we go.
And that was the situation or was the situation in Arizona. And the issue is that, okay, you fill out your ballot with a pen that doesn't scan properly. You insert your ballot. There's a problem. And they tell you, well, I'm sorry, this is all we have. Leave it and we'll take care of it later. Well, once you leave the polling place, you've left the polling place. In fact, in one place, where was that? I don't have it pulled up right now. But there was in one place where people who were casting their ballots were told that the scanners were down and that they could just leave their ballots and they'd be scanned later. And to their credit, the voters at that place said, no, that's okay, we'll wait. And as they waited, miraculously, the scanners turned out to be working. A polling place had working ballot scanners. Their poll workers told the people who were voting Republican that the scanners weren't working, but they would scan the votes for them later. What do you think would have happened with those votes had those people left them? You know exactly what would have happened with those votes. We have witnessed attempt after attempt after attempt at fraud. You probably saw the video of a poll watcher, a Republican poll watcher in Philadelphia, who had credentials that allowed him to perform his duty at any polling place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was a universal pass. He could go anywhere. And they would not allow him into the polling place he chose to work at. They told him that his documentation, his credentials were invalid. Because they didn't specifically say it was that polling place. But his credentials allowed him to go to any polling place. But because it wasn't specific, they wouldn't let him in. And he looked at him and said, this is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, right? Because this says I can go anywhere. And they still wouldn't let him in. This is why Philadelphia right now, why Pennsylvania, even as I'm recording this, is still in play. Because the Democrats know that delaying is how they win. Because they can pull funny business. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. For Wednesday, the fourth day of November 2020. You know what I think is pure genius? A local radio station in my city started playing Christmas music today. Can I just tip of the hat to Magic 96? Good for you guys. That's very clever. And one time I worked at a station that was in competition with this station, and there was actually an ongoing thing about Christmas music. And they would usually start playing Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving. It's just, you got through Thanksgiving Day and then, ding, Christmas music. And at our station, that's when my buddy Dave was the PD the program director. He made the decision to jump them and to start Christmas music well before that. And we did. One morning, we went in and just started playing Christmas music. And within in much less than an hour, the guys over there loaded up their Christmas music library. We jumped the gun. We beat them to it. But that's interesting. In the radio business, there's constantly competition for audience ears. And it's very clever on that level and just the fact that people are just stressed. Christmas music, it's just brilliant. In fact, can I just encourage you? Go ahead, pull out your Christmas music, get out your Christmas movies. I know we're still 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving. I know, but go ahead. It's not like you need my permission. Just go ahead, okay? Because everybody, all of us need the stress relief. Well, let's see. I mentioned this earlier, direct from Nevada elections. I don't know what that was. Oh, that's crazy Siri. I think I probably said seriously or something, and she thought I was talking to her. Nevada state elections, NVElect on Twitter, says, well, that's it for election results updates until 9 o'clock a.m. on November 5th. Here's what's been counted so far. All in-person early votes, all in-person election day votes, all mail-in ballots through November 2nd. Here's what is left to count. Mail ballots received on election day, mail ballots that will be received over the next week, and provisional ballots. Ballots outstanding is difficult to estimate in Nevada because every voter was sent a mail ballot. Obviously, not all will vote. Mail ballots that will be received over the next week. And there lies the big problem. Allowing mail ballots to be counted, which were received after Election Day, is the big sticking point. Why? Unless you are seeking to sway the election, why would you allow that to happen? In everything we do, there is a set of rules. There are guidelines. In everything we do, you transgress the boundaries of those guidelines, and there are consequences. In an election, if you don't vote on election day, if you don't get your absentee ballot in on before a certain date, if they don't have it in their hands by this date and it can be counted in a timely manner, then your vote's not included. The regulations, the rules, the procedures are spelled out. But when a team is losing, I've equated it to this a few times here, and that is a bunch of kids playing a game They're out in the backyard, and they're making up a game as they go, and they're changing the rules as they go to make the game more fun for one side or the other. Or they're playing a game of touch football or something like that, and they start creatively adding rules so the underdog has a better chance. This is kind of what's happening on the national level with adults. They're changing the rules of the game so they can win. Mail ballots received over the next week should not be counted. There is a cutoff date. That cutoff date should be stuck to. But this is what happens when we let progressives into government and progressives are appointed to the court systems. In Nevada, a lot of progressives from California have moved there. By the way, it borders with California. I don't know if you know that, but it does. It borders with California. A lot of people from California said, whoa, it's a little too fruity for me here. And they moved to Nevada, and the progressive infection spreads. So the progressives are changing the rules, not only in Nevada, but in other states as well, so that mail ballots received after Election Day can be counted. And people will squall, it's just not fair, my vote wasn't counted. Guess what? You knew the rules. You knew the regulations. You knew how this worked. You knew it had to be postmarked by a certain date. You knew it had to be in hand by a certain date. And you still screwed up. Too bad, so sad. You show up at Best Buy trying to buy that Black Friday deal on Saturday and see what happens. You're not getting it. But you want your vote in the presidential election to count if you're late. And that's what progressives want. God love us. That's what they want. Now, there's been a lot of idiocy going on. I've been telling you for a long, 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 long time to ignore the polling. And we saw the polling totally wrong. Blue wave is what they were talking about. They were talking about a gigantic Joe Biden victory. It's not panning out. He's winning a few states, but it's not panning out. Not the way the pollsters said it would. The news agencies, they've done a horrible job. A horrible job. Last night, I switched from Fox News to Newsmax. I watched Fox News. Oh God, I think I watched it for 3 minutes. And as soon as I heard Juan Williams' voice making commentary on things, I said, wow, this guy is so disconnected from reality. Every day, there's no sense in listening to anything he has to say tonight. There's just not. I switched over to Newsmax. It wasn't as sexy. They didn't have all of the reporters calling in from all these different places, but their analysis was good. It was balanced. It was more conservative. So it was a bit biased towards my leanings, but there was not all of this goofy, weird, strange stuff going on. And I think a lot of people appreciated that because I was seeing people on Twitter talking about how much better Newsmax was, and I agreed. I did agree. And in the midst of everything on Fox News last night, Tucker Carlson had something to say about the job the news media has been doing.
But I just cannot get over my total surprise at the disconnect between what we're watching on the screen and what has been confidently predicted across the media landscape for months, that there was a very good chance of a blue wave, of a total Biden blowout, of an early night. And I could get much more specific about this, and I think we'll probably spend the next couple of months doing that because it's worth doing. But suffice it to say, and anyone watching and who's consumed any media this year knows that the media, even on the basis of the data we have now, got it really wrong. And they'll claim they didn't because they always do, but they did. And we know that. And why is this a problem? It's a problem because in the end, we know who the president is because the media tell us who the president is. The campaign manager for the Joe Biden effort today sent out a tweet saying, in effect, you know, we will, if announced that Joe Biden won by the media, then, you know, we will consider that a victory. And then they said on background a bunch of other news organizations, the second the media declared Joe Biden the president, he will begin, in effect, acting like the president. So you can't really overstate the role of the media in adding legitimacy and conveying legitimacy to the winner. We're not just observers, we're participants, as much as we hate to admit it. So given all of that, it really matters whether or not we're credible. And I would say in some very specific ways, we, the media, I participated in it for 30 years, have not been credible. Nope. We have lost trust.
Yes.
And that's just, I think that's really bad. And it's something that we need to fix.
He's right. The media has lost trust. It is not credible. Many, many people do not trust the news media at all anymore. In fact, I encouraged you yesterday. Over the last few days, I've encouraged you not to pay attention to the news media. They're going to get it wrong. Some are going to lie to you. Just lie. Some are going to be delusional, like MSNBC. Over at MSNBC, they're on a different planet. They are not with us. I really would like to catch some of them at a public function sometime and ask them what color the air is on their planet, because it's definitely not where we are. But the news media has failed us. They have become agents of politics rather than those who are reporting the facts. They are advocates for political views. They're not reporting the facts. If you watched Fox News last night, I don't know if you were aware, but the person handling their reporting on the outcome of the election, the person responsible for all that analysis and reporting, is a registered Democrat. A Hillary Clinton donor. Someone who is not unbiased. Someone who is very biased. Which is probably why Fox News didn't call Florida for as long as they didn't call Florida. And why Fox News called Virginia when there was hardly any of the vote in and Trump was ahead. Because in his mind, he analyzed the situation and said, well, it's going to go to Biden. And I do understand that Northern Virginia, on the border with Washington, D.C., is an intensely Democrat, blue, progressive area, and that the votes from that area come in late. And last time, in 2016, that changed the vote. It changed how Virginia fell in the presidential election. Because everything looked fantastic for Donald Trump until late, and then it suddenly swung. It's because the Northern Virginia votes got held out. They held on to those until the end and then dropped them into the totals and changed the outcome. So I understand why, but still, the reporting should have been accurate, and it was not. So we can't trust the news media. We can't trust the polling. Who do we trust? Well, I think you should trust yourself. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hope you're doing all right. As Matthew McConaughey would say, all right, all right, all right. The best tweet from all of last night. I have to give Juanita Broderick a tip of the hat. She tweeted last night, Stacey Abrams says she is one Georgia. Good for you, Juanita. Oh, my gosh. What a weird, weird situation we're in right now. And we've let it happen to ourselves. I said right before the break, you should trust yourself. You should trust yourself instead of trusting the pundits, instead of trusting the news media and the pollsters. Do your own research. Look at things for yourself. Find out what's really going on. This is a message I've been preaching for a long time. Learn to do your own research. That's why, let me put something in perspective for you. Doing your own research and learning for yourself is so important. It's so incredibly vital to the future of this nation that big tech is making it harder to do it. Big tech, which leans progressive and supports progressive politicians, is making it harder for you to learn the truth. That's how important doing your own research is. Progressives don't want you to know the truth. They want you to trust them for the truth. The progressives want to be your shepherds, to take care of you. They want you to be bleating little sheep who just trust them. Well, something you need to learn right now is that a shepherd will break the leg of a sheep to keep it in line. Don't let these people be your shepherd. Work harder. When they make it harder to find what you need to find, work harder. That is a basic principle of success. When it gets harder to succeed, work harder. If you want to succeed, it means you're going to dedicate time and energy to succeeding. And succeeding in finding more information means you're going to have to work a bit harder. In the last 24 hours, we watched Twitter cover up people's tweets telling the truth about things. We watched Facebook attach warnings. I've had things that I've posted on my dinky little Facebook page for this podcast. I've watched Facebook flag those things as inaccurate. Yeah, fact-checking over at USA Today says this isn't true. Really? And I responded to that when it happened a few days ago and sort of spelled everything out. Because their independent fact-checkers are full of crap. Because they only look at things from one perspective and through the lens of progressivism. So, if we've learned anything, we've learned that we can't trust the media. We can't trust the pundits. Eric Bolling on Twitter last night said, the blue wave unanimously predicted by polls and smugly embraced by the cable news host never came. There was no landslide Biden victory. There was no Senate flip to Democrats. There was no House Democrat wave. In fact, the GOP picked up a few seats. The polls are abjectly useless. The news media today is abjectly useless. You can't trust any of it. So, don't. Go out there and dig. Find yourself some dependable, reliable, truthful sources of information. You're going to have to wade through a lot, but you can do it. You can find the sources. There are conservative commentators who have worked hard to provide you with reliable sources. Go look at their stuff. You may find, and I'll warn you of this right off the bat, you may find that some rub you the wrong way. Some aren't exactly your cup of tea. Some just don't appeal to you. That's fine. Keep looking. There are some who have gained notoriety and popularity in recent years who I tip my hat to them. I admire them for what they've been able to accomplish, but I have trouble digging through their bombastics and their pontification and trying to find the reality of a situation, digging through their opinion to find the facts. It's not that I disagree with their opinion. I just want to know what it's based on. Work harder. We all have to. And the more the progressives control, the harder we have to work. But if we're going to save this nation, we have to work harder. We have to. Mark Levin, the great one, on Twitter, posted earlier at 5:40 this morning the following. One, let's step back. I've been hearing commentators trying to normalize all these changes to voting procedures and court interventions and acting like this has gone on throughout our history or was compelled by the virus. That's clearly not true. Two, mail-in voting was pushed hard by the Democrats, and they've filed scores of lawsuits to change the rules set by state legislatures. Unfortunately, activist courts have been more than happy to accommodate them, many of them, and the Supreme Court failed to put its foot down. Three, no, none of us recall a time like this when so many crucial state counts are delayed. There's also a legitimate concern about backdoor voter harvesting in some areas, and we know for a fact that cities like Philadelphia have a problematic history. And four, so let's not pretend that this has been a routine election. Many of the same forces that rejected Trump's 2016 election have tried to manipulate the system this time as well. Mr. Levin is correct. What's happening now is not normal and should not have happened the way it did. If you look back over this year, over the last 6 to 8 months, you will see a pattern develop where politicians, progressive politicians, saw an opportunity in the coronavirus to manipulate an election. And that's exactly what they did. They realized that they could manipulate the outcome of a presidential election. And so, they shut down an economy. Yes, the buck stops with the president. He acted on advice. He did some things. He did things to protect the American people based on the information given to him by the experts. But the leftist politicians took advantage of the virus. They took advantage. They fanned the flames of fear. They encouraged cities and states to lock down. They crashed an economy by refusing to spin back up again. And in spite of them not cooperating, our economy is rebounding. A sharp rebound. Proving that our president is the right man to handle things going on right now. But they manipulated America and Americans with fear, using the virus to justify changing election laws in such a way that the totals could be manipulated by allowing votes to come in after the deadlines, by ignoring the lack of postmarks or the dates on postmarks, and by disallowing or by ignoring signatures that don't match, among other things. So these politicians have manipulated the United States of America using the fear of a virus to change the rules of an election so they could win. And that's just one aspect of what they've done. But they used fear to accomplish that. They've been lying to America. They've been ignoring the facts about the COVID, about the coronavirus. They've been keeping people frightened and changing the rules to their advantage in progressive states. Anyone who uses fear to control other people is evil. And progressive politicians do it all the time. Keep that in mind. Progressive politicians love to frighten people because it makes them the hero. Oh, we can fix this. Let us have control. We'll take care of this situation. And trust me, if Joe Biden comes out on top of all of this, suddenly everything with Rona is going to get rosy. All of a sudden, things will start improving. States will open again. Progress will be made where progress has not been made. All because they've been standing in the way and in the process harming you and me just for power and control. That's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Oh, actually, no. It'll be Friday. No podcast tomorrow. Got things going on. We'll see you then. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.